Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. The advent of the King had begun. That means that the King was coming to his people. He did not come with a show of military force or strength. He did not come with grand announcement. The King was coming to his people in humility, in mercy. And he was giving himself into their hands for their benefit. You see, the King whose advent was near was God in the flesh. And as King, he was coming to save his people. Now, normally, men and women will lay down their lives to protect the King, to protect those in power. You would never imagine the President of the United States standing in the front of the military lines. But here, something else was taking place. For this King, whose very name means Yahweh saves, this King was coming to lay down his life for the saving of his people. The people could not save him, for this King is God in the flesh. But by his very death, he would destroy the death that separated him from his people. He would destroy death and the sin that caused it by his death on the cross. The kingdom of God was certainly coming. It was coming by itself, not as a result of the prayers of anyone. And the King is still coming into this world without our prayers. But we pray that his kingdom would come to us and that we would receive him. We want to receive this King as the people did on Palm Sunday, not as the same people did that Good Friday. Now, the advent of King Jesus to Jerusalem, in some ways it was quite stealthy. It was beneath the radar. It says, when he drew near to Bethpage at Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you. That is, and go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied in which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are untying it, you shall say this: the Lord has need of it. In Jesus' advent, he employed his disciples, the two guys that would actually become two of the first pastors. He did not need them. I want you to take note of that. Jesus did not need these disciples to do this. He could have called a wild donkey out from the wilderness and tamed it with the very look in his eyes. He is God. He can do as he pleases. He could do whatever he wanted. And we should take note that he chose to take two of his disciples, people who would become servants of the word, and he employed them to use them in his advent, in his coming to his people. So those who were sent away, they found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, of course, somebody came up, its owner, and said, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on it, they sat Jesus on it. Now notice that Jesus himself spoke to the owner. He himself spoke to the owner through his servants. They spoke Jesus' word, word for word, to the owner, who immediately upon hearing God's word, the Lord has need of it, he gave up his colt. He didn't respond by saying, what Lord? Whose Lord? For the Lord that his disciples spoke of was this man's Lord, and he was theirs. And you know what? God still speaks to us through the words of the apostles that come down through preaching, through teaching, through study of the scriptures. And we believe in Jesus through their word and through the proclamation of the gospel in the preaching. God still speaks to you. He still speaks to us in these ordinary means, through preaching and teaching. And he addresses us this for the same reason that he addressed this man. He was coming to save this man and the people that he lived amongst. And more than this, his advent would pay for the sins of the people of all the world. And this man, he had already received Jesus by faith, and he wanted to give what he had to make his advent possible. This man already received him, and he wanted to be involved in the coming of his king. You know what? Jesus didn't need this man. The same way that he didn't need the disciples. The same way he didn't need the donkey. But he was gracious enough to use this man. And you know what? Jesus doesn't need you or me either. But he graciously allows us to know what he is doing. And he bids us to be a part of it. I think that is really cool. It's really great news. Jesus didn't need my grandma and grandpa to bring me to him, but he used them. He didn't need my friend that I met in college to introduce me to the Lutheran Church, but he used them. He employed them. They received his word week in and week out, and then coming across me, who didn't know him near as well as I could have. I mainly only knew the law of God. He used a friend at college to introduce me to the gospel of God. And you know what? You guys are friends with people. At least I hope you are. But you're friends with people that don't know the gospel of God just like I didn't. And you know what? God could use you to bring forth a future pastor, just like he used me. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know whose God is going to use to change you. To change them through you. You know what I meant. That sentence was confusing. So throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." What started out as something small, perhaps by the cover of early morning, it was growing into something amazing. An amazing celebration. The people were singing the song that we still sing when we recognize the advent of our King in the elements of the bread and wine. You know, as we move through the liturgy and we get closer to the Lord's Supper, we begin to sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The people could not contain themselves because they thought the appearance of Jesus was going to mean the beginning of their political freedom. But Jesus' advent was not for this life. His advent is the advent of a king coming into enemy territory. Like I said before, you can't imagine the President of the United States going into enemy territory. You wouldn't, no way would you ever have seen President Bush or President Obama heading up to go in and rescue troops that were under siege. That's the word. Who were under siege? You would not imagine the President of the United States saying, "Come on, guys," or "I got this. You stand back here." No way, right? But here you have a king coming in alone, coming into enemy territory. He is not coming to make camp here. He is coming to rescue those who are enslaved in sin. He's coming to fight the battle that they never could fight. And he comes into the enemy territory and says, "You can't have them, but you take me." And he lays down his life, satisfying the requirements for all of our sin. All the things we've ever did, all the things we've ever thought, all that junk that we still do. He came in and laid down his life. The people didn't understand it. They thought it was political freedom. But he says, no, it's a rescue mission. And it's a new world. It's a new heaven. It's a new earth. It's a new beginning. It's all made possible because of my coming to you, my advent to you. And it should be known that this same Jesus, he still comes to us. You can tell if you look around you, you're not in heaven yet. You can tell if you look around you, or just look inside yourself and see the junk that's in there, you're not free yet. And he still comes. He's still coming to set you free. And he still comes in the same means. He still sends forth servants of his word. And those pastors, they still equip God's children, that's you, to be witnesses in a world that still doesn't know him. You're still giving up your riches, your colt, so to speak. You're still being ready and willing wherever you can be. We did a service project last year. We're doing another one this year. We helped with raking leaves. You can see ways that you can help in the bulletin. You're still saying, "Yes, use me. I want to be a part of this rescue mission. We pray, "Thy kingdom come." What does this mean? God's kingdom's coming without our prayer. We pray in this petition that we would be a part of it. Right? When the rulers of the temple, however, saw the coming of this king, that's the Pharisees, they didn't like it. And they told Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples, stop this." You see, they could not see what the people saw. They did not see hope when they saw Jesus. They saw the death of all they worked for. You know what? Jesus coming for us, it means death as well. It means the death of your sin, even that stuff that you're not so ready to give up. And there's a part of you that says, "I don't want his coming to this area of my life." That's what the Pharisees represented. They said, "Stop." But Jesus said, "Look, even if their mouths are silent, what's taking place here is so great that even the rocks would cry out." We want to stop that part of us that doesn't want Jesus to enter. And you know how you stop it? You say, I confess this sin. The sin saying, keep quiet, keep quiet. And I want to say, by the saint in me, Lord, take this out. This junk in here, it's wanting to keep me away from your advent, from your coming to me. Don't let it. And he says, it's already been taken care of. I paid for it on the cross. We recognize in the advent of Jesus that the creator of the universe who laid down his life for us, we see him where the world does not. We see him in, with, and under simple forms of bread and wine. All the world sees this as foolishness. But we see our saving King in this meal. We recognize the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in water included in his command and combined with his word. The world sees this as a useless, meaningless ceremony. And we say, this is the bridegroom washing me and making me his own. We know the voice of our King in the water. And we say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, Jesus' advent has taken place. His advent is still happening. And his advent will come again on the last day that we remembered last week. His advent happens even without our prayers. But we pray that it would come to us. For by the Holy Spirit, we recognize that the devil, the world, and our own flesh, we recognize them for what they are. They're tyrants. Our own flesh and blood is a tyrant, wanting to keep us away from God's love. And we pray that God would rescue us from these tyrants. We want to be, and we also not only want to be rescued ourselves, you know what? We're a part of something really big. And we want to be the disciples untying the colt. We want to be the owner saying, take my colt and whatever else I can do. We want to be a part of what you're doing. We want to be rescued. And we want to be a part of the rescuing. We want to be a part of this until, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, he takes us to himself. He takes us from this valley of sorrows to himself in heaven, where there will be everlasting joy. There will be no more finals weeks. Praise be to God. There will be no more finals. There will be no more weeping. I've been there. I know what it's like. But until that day when he takes us home, we pray that the peace that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and minds until the final advent of our King. Amen.